Isn't that great? Wow. Pastor Brandon, thanks for that worship this morning. When you had a stand at the beginning, that was the smartest thing you could have done. But there's one little thing. When he had you all stand, I thought what he was going to do is I thought he was going to say, oh, and by the way, for those of you who are interested in working the soundboard, just stand. I thought that's what he's going to do, have you all stand, and then, but it's okay. I believe. You know, the other day, actually, and it happened the other day, and it's funny because God always gives just the perfect illustration for me, and it happened the other day that I was cleaning the bathroom. I'm not very skilled at it, but I'm learning. And I was cleaning the bathroom, and I knocked, we have this little clock, and I knocked it off to the floor, and I didn't think anything of it. I picked it up, put the pieces, what I thought, together, and the battery in it, and put it back up on the shelf. And on Friday, my son Nathan came out and said, look at this! Look at this! Time stands still in our home! And it was not moving. And I then revealed my little escapade of smashing the clock on the floor as I was trying to clean. But it's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking. That there are those moments, especially moments, aren't there, where we say, don't you wish that time could just stand still? You know? Like I know, like when I'm preaching, you're all going, I just wish time could stand still. You know? We do. We say those words. And we often do. Like at those moments where it's joyful and happy. And I wish we could spend this time would just stop right now. We're like this Pickles cartoon. Look at this. Do we have a PowerPoint? Oh, look at this. They're sitting on the couch. Grandma, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? No need to ask her that, Nelson. Your grandma actually has a superpower. Really? She has a superpower? What is it? She has the ability to stop time. You can stop time? That's so cool. Your grandpa is crazy. It's the truth. Whenever she drags me to the fabric store, time stands still. I spent a week there one afternoon. A lot of you are going, I know. I know how that feels. We've been talking about whether or not we're too busy, where our priorities are. And maybe you are too busy, or maybe you don't know it, maybe you're figuring out that I am now. Did you know that one thing? God has not called you to be busy. God has not called us to be busy. There's never one place in the Bible where it says, go and be busy. It's not there. I alluded to this passage last week, and I'm going to, I like to allude, it's a little foreshadowing. John chapter 15 is where I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. John chapter 15. It's a great passage. I'm reading from today's New International Version. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Great passage of Scripture. We talked a little bit about pruning last week, but proper pruning requires responsibility. it requires responsibility. You know, you are the only one who can take responsibility over your time. You're the only one. And did you know that if you took responsibility over your schedule and just did some pruning to those things that are not relevant or maybe even dead, your life would blossom. You would have joy. Jesus said in the New Living Translation, he said, "I am the true grapevine and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more." The Amplified concludes it this way: "He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more fruit and richer and more excellent fruit." You can have a piece of fruit. You know, you just, like, we bought a mango. Joan picked up some mangoes, and there was a mango that, you know, I ate, and it was good. But then the next mango, it was juicier. It was riper. It was excellent. You know, it was just dripping all over my, you know, one of those. Goes down your arm, you know, it's just so juicy. Succulent. That was excellent. Now some of you are going, "I'd rather have the one that didn't do all the mess." But God, he not only wants us to bear fruit, he wants us to bear more fruit, and he wants us to bear more excellent fruit. And he says that in order to bear fruit, or bear more fruit, or bear more excellent fruit, that we have to go through a process called pruning, which means to trim away or to cut something off. And the amazing thing is that when you prune a tree, it blossoms more. It shapes better. It develops better fruit. I showed our neighbor, because I was, you know, there's, they have an apple tree, and it was kind of hanging over, you know, kind of on a property. I like the apples off it. And I went out in the spring, and I usually do this, and I went out in the spring, and I was kind of trimming the, you know, trim what's over our fence and kind of making it so I didn't, you know, when I'm mowing the lawn, you know. So I was trying to make it so, you know, because one time I, John, I was tail, you know, just caught in there, and my legs were just moving, you know. She came up, rescued me after half an hour. But anyway, no, just kidding. But I was trying. She came out, "What are you doing?" It was a few years ago. What are you doing? I said, and I had my reciprocal saw, so I looked mean. "I'm cutting the tree." I said, "No, I'm cutting off. You watch, this is going to be better." "I don't know how it's going to be better." "Yeah, watch." "No, really. I know how to cut." "No, you don't. You're not. Yeah, I do. Are you a gardener?" "No, but I learned it. Jeff George showed me." She didn't know who that was. But, and so anyway, cut, and you know what? She said, "Okay, it's on your side, you know, so I'm trimming these things." You know what was amazing? About a month later, like, probably not even a month later, because I did it again this year, that apple tree was white. Blossom. She came, she said to me that year, she said, "Wow, look at that. See my tree? See the tree? That really lots of apples." I said, "Yeah." I didn't want to say, "Yeah, well, it's because of the pruning." But it blossoms more. It shapes better. It develops better fruit. He says in his word, we're to develop fruit. When you're bearing good fruit, there's a satisfaction, there's a joy that comes into your soul when you see good fruit coming from your effort. And when you're putting out a lot of effort and you really can't see anything that's producing anything, then that's frustrating. You know? It would be like me trying to sew. No, and it'd be done and it'd be sold like this, you know. You know, it doesn't produce anything worthwhile. I think it's time to take responsibility for our busyness. Amen? Start pruning away dead branches in our life. It's like a couple, you know, speaking of responsibility, they were on a car trip, older couple, and they stopped at a roadside restaurant for lunch. And the lady, unfortunately, she left behind her glasses, and they were sitting on the table, and she didn't miss them, actually, until they were just far down on the highway. And so her hubby, you know, they travel a distance, and then they found a place to turn around, and her hubby, he was just complaining. He was fussed over this, and on their way back, and he kept telling his wife, he said, you know, you got to be more responsible in this life. You're old enough, and you got to take responsibility for your belongings. You got to look after your things. You got to look after yourself. You should be caring for yourself. You should have brought those glasses. You know, now we have to turn around. Do you realize how much time it's going to take? Do you realize how much time? You got to take responsibility in your life. Nobody's going to do it for you. You got to do it. And he's just going on and on and on and on. Quit nudging your husbands. Quit it. They finally arrived back to the restaurant, and the lady was opened her car door, and she's just about to get out of the car, and her husband was still going on, and you know, he said, you better make sure you get your glasses this time, and while you're in there, you may as well get my hat too. Yeah. Responsibility. Yeah, we like to point the finger, don't we? But busyness, like procrastination, is deceptive. And then, you know, why would I say that busyness is deceptive? I want you to think for a moment about procrastination. Just think for a minute, because it's very similar. It's very similar to being busy. I believe that a lot of people, if they intend to do something later, they count it as obedience. You see, we've not obeyed God until we've taken action and done what God's told us to do. And the devil is a master at getting people to just kind of put things up, you know, well, yeah, I'm gonna get to mowing the lawn. You know, it's this high, you know. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. You know, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Well, when? Later. You know, when it's more convenient. When I've got more time. And then this is the one that we really misuse. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend, but I do. I'll pray about it. And then we never pray about it. We don't do anything about it. I'll pray about it. Why don't you just say no right off the bat? You know what? Good intentions are not obedience to God. Good intentions are not obedience to God. We've not obeyed God until we've done what he has called us to do, what he's created us to do. So I think procrastination deceives people because they think if they intend to do it, then they kind of count as they've already done it. I've already done it. Man, I struggle with that. I do. I can procrastinate. You really can. Just check my inbox of my emails. I'll get to that later. All 5,000. No, I'm just joking. I'm not that bad. Busyness can also be deceptive because if we think that we're busy, that kind of gives us an excuse to not do a lot of the other things that we should be doing. Well, I wish I could do that, but I'm just too busy. Well, I know I should be doing that, but I'm just too busy. Well, I know I should pray and I should spend more time with God, but I'm just too busy. See, I know, I'm here to tell you that is not an acceptable excuse. We need to take responsibility. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings. We need to think. If you think for a moment, if the disciples did not receive from the Holy Spirit, we would not be sitting here in this church worshiping God. That's what Pentecost is about. The Holy Spirit came. They were witnesses. The church started. Change happened. It's time to change and take responsibility. I'm busy. Oh, I'm busy. Praise God, I'm busy. You haven't heard from me for 3 years, Mom? Because I'm busy. I haven't had my teeth cleaned in 5 years. Some of you longer. Because I'm busy. That's not an acceptable excuse. If you're so busy that you can't keep your priorities straight, then you are the only one that can do anything about it. It's time to take responsibility. You make your schedule. You can change your schedule. It's time to be responsible for what you're doing and start being fruitful for what you are doing. See, what's the point in doing something if you're going to complain about it all the time? What? Did you hear me? What's one person heard me? So I need to repeat. What's the point in doing something if we're going to complain about it all the time. Because God is not, he's certainly not going to call us to do something and then sit back and go, watch this, Peter. Abraham, come on over. Watch out. They're going to be miserable doing this. Just watch. He said, you're going to receive joy. If you're fruitful, you're going to be joyful. I was having a pity party, one of my pity parties. Problem with a pity party is no one's invited. I was having a pity party in one of my complaint sessions, and then it was just like, you know, Dev, quit passing this blame, you know. Quit your complaining. You make every day of your life. You schedule it. And if you don't like it, change it. How many of you know that you're doing a lot of stuff that God never told you to do? Doing a lot of things that you don't have to do. Can I tell you something? Listen, you don't have to be involved in everything in order for it to work well. There are people who can get the job done. They may not do exactly the way you would like it. I mean, they might smash clocks in the bathroom. But what's the difference as long as it ends up getting done? I got some heavy revy for you today. That's Revelation, not me. In case you miss it. You ready? Stay out of some stuff. I'll repeat it in case you didn't hear me. Stay out of some stuff. Take responsibility for your life. Quit excusing yourself and permit God to start pruning you so that you may begin living a joyful life. Proper pruning requires responsibility, but it also requires relationship. I want you to just look here for a moment to 15. Jesus goes on here all the way to verse 8. Where are we here? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And he talks about remaining in him, dwelling in him. If you remain in me, verse 7, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, it will be done for you. Remaining in him, that's about relationship. The message says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. Some of you are burning. That's why it's hot for you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. It's a relationship. Live in me, and I'll live in you. See, it doesn't mean go to church on Sunday, forget about God the rest of the week. If you dwell in him, not if you visit me for 45 minutes on Sunday morning, if you live in me, not if you call on me in desperation when you have a big problem but ignore me the rest of your life, if you dwell in me and I dwell in you and my word dwells in you, then you will bear much fruit if you do dwell in me, if you live in me. You can ask what you want and I will do it if you're dwelling in God, spending time with him. And you ask God to settle your restless spirit, he will. If you dwell in God, if you really spend time with God, you pray to God, please take away my anguish, my hurt, my pain. I want a joyful life. He'll give it to you. If you dwell in God, spend real quality time in relationship with him and have that intimate relationship with him. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you so that you are well pruned. Your life will be different. It'll be changed. That's an important relationship. But then there are branches that are on trees called sucker branches. And look at this. I got a picture of one. This is in my backyard. See? Look at the beautiful tree. Gorgeous. And next one. Look at that. See, isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's gorgeous. That's like a beautiful tree. You know, look at that vine. It looks so pretty. It looks so nice. Oh, that's great. Did you know that those are sucker branches? They're sucking the life out of that tree. Those little guys at the bottom that look so pretty, look so nice. Oh, I like those. Keep those. Let's spray paint them. Let's make, you know, they're so beautiful. They're pretty. But you know what? That's not how the tree's supposed to look. It distorts the shape of the tree, the way it's supposed to be shaped. Those are sucker branches because they suck the life out of the real tree. You have to cut those off. And I will at some point. I'm going to get to that. I'm right now, I'm just a little bit too big. Fruitful. Sorry. I should have done an after photo. I was thinking that. But I didn't have time. Well, I did have time. Well, I could have made time, actually, to do the after photo, but I didn't. There are people in our lives who are the sucker branches. I don't have time to... I happened to catch a bit of Dr. Phil this one day, and he had a lady on there, and this lady apparently had a drug problem, and so Dr. Phil got her to commit to a test, you know, one of the drug tests and stuff, and so he said, well, at a time in a few weeks or whatever before you're next on the show, we're going to come to your house, and we're going to do a test on you, drug test. And so she said, that's fine, she agreed to it and everything. So Dr. Phil set that all up, and so they went to the house to do the drug test. And they knock on the door, and she comes to the door, and they said, yeah, we're here from the Dr. Phil show. We're going to do the drug test on you right now. And this lady said, I'm not taking a drug test. There's no way I'm doing it. There's no way. Absolutely not. So the young lady's mom was actually on the show, and Dr. Phil said, he said, I will never accept a call from your daughter. I will never talk to her. She'll never appear on one of my shows again. Because you know what? She just talks about needing help. She really doesn't want it. If you've been hearing somebody talk about the same problem for 4 years, and the 4 years they've been complaining about the problem, even though you've tried to give them some help, you know what? They don't want help. They just want to complain. And the devil is using them to keep you busy so that the important relationships that you need in your life are cut off from you. You have to be very, very careful about sucker branches in your life. It could be things that you're doing for the wrong reason. Oh, I want to do that because everybody else is doing it. It could be things that you're doing because somebody's going to get angry with you if you don't. But there's no life in it for you, and you're doing it because, well, they're going to be mad at me, so I better make sure I do it like that. Those are sucker branches. And you know, that's why pruning hurts. Because it's not comfortable when we actually start pruning away those that suck life out of us. When you cut back a tree and you prune it, at first it looks like it's all but dead. I mean, if you would let God cut off all of your life that is not bearing fruit, at first you may feel like your whole life is destroyed, but then what happens to that beautiful tree? It becomes gorgeous. After a little while, there's new fruit, better looking fruit, better shape. I mean, beautiful. All the dead stuff is gone. All the lifeless stuff is gone. John Trapp said it well when he said, it's better to be pruned to grow than cut up to burn. Get some balance in your life. Don't come to a point in your life where you think, well, I've done my bit, finished, I bear, you know, I got a lot of fruit. Did you know that there's no condition of age here? Doesn't mean, well, once you're retired, you don't have to. You know, it's okay. You know. And I love what it says in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. I love that. You did not choose me. Hallelujah. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Did you know that it's interesting that the bearing of fruit is linked with prayer. When I pray and ask God for something, if my motive is to bear fruit, then I can always be assured that God is going to answer that prayer. A lot of our times, our prayers are really not about bearing fruit or glorifying God. It's just something that we want for us. I want this. And I tell you, that's going to suck life out of you more than anything else, instead of adding to our life. We need to make sure that whatever we're asking God for is His will, and it's going to be something that is going to help somebody and glorify God. Amen? It glorifies God. It centers around my relationship with God. You will know them by their fruit. And then the next verse goes on, talks about bearing fruit, verse 17. This is what I command you, love one another. Verse 12, he's gotten finished talking about bearing fruit. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. It's about relationship. You don't need to worry about riches. Concentrate on loving one another. You don't need to worry about getting a promotion. Concentrate on loving one another. Do you hear me? You don't need to climb the ladder of success. Getting your name up in lights. Just care about loving one another. If we love one another, we'll enjoy our life because God will promote us. And you know, the thing about loving one another, don't just say it. You got to show it. That's the fruit. You know, like, oh, you just mean so much to me. You've changed my life. I can't tell you what you mean to me. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Would you take out the garbage? No. No, but I love you. Actions speak louder than words. I mean, you can say the words in a relationship, I love you. But if you're not really there when somebody needs you, or if there's no real tender, loving care, if there's no understanding, I mean, we can tell people, we can say, I love you. But if we don't have time for them. See, our time, we're so busy excusing ourselves from our responsibility that we don't even nurture our relationships anymore. It's time to live again. It's time to take it back. Be responsible and have a wonderful life. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to Maybe you just need to say to God, God, it's time for me to get my priorities straight. And God, I know my first priority is my relationship with you. Maybe you realize you have that relationship with God, but you don't have a good relationship with yourself. Maybe you need to take a little time just to get to know yourself a little better. Maybe you don't have a good relationship with those people around you, maybe your family or those people you fellowship with, your friends. Maybe that's just lacking. Maybe you're just doing it to please them. They're sucking the life out of you. Relationships are important. We've got to take responsibility and make them priority in our life. Maybe you need to say, God, I don't like to be pruned because it hurts. But yet I know it's needed and necessary in my life. Maybe you've been procrastinating and taking that step of faith and saying, God, I want you to remove those branches that aren't bearing fruit. I want the joy-filled life. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're coming to Him in that way today, for any of those reasons, just lift your hand up. God, you're it. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Maybe you're here today and you've heard about Jesus and His dying on the cross, and you sung it this morning, you worshipped Him that way. Maybe your friends have been telling you need Jesus in your life, and you've been just kind of holding back. But this morning, you can accept the free gift of eternal life, that is, living eternally in heaven with Jesus. And you can accept Him today by saying something like, God, I want Jesus to enter my life and wash me clean. Or I ask God you for your forgiveness on my heart. And I give you my life today. I surrender to you. I want you, Jesus. Something along those lines. And he will enter you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and will direct you. Our Father and our God, we're walking through this difficult journey of our time, being busy. And some of it is simple, but some of it is very difficult because we don't like to be hurt. We don't like pruning. We don't like it, God, when you come to us with those big shears like the gardener and start cutting back the branches that aren't producing fruit or not producing much fruit. But God, we know it's necessary. So Lord, we just pray that as we continue to walk as your people, that we would remain obedient to you, that we would remain in you, God, so that we might live that joy-filled life. May we embrace your joy today. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.